get down on my rusty knees and pray, I can pray to Yahweh occasionally. And I can ask him, Lord, I'm struggling with some sin right now. I'm struggling with being bound to something that I don't want to be bound to. I find myself addicted. I need you to sanctify me. Lord, I need you to cleanse me. Lord, I need you to purify me. I need you to work in my life, Lord, and set me apart for your service. So Yahweh Makadosh is the name that we call on whenever we find ourselves in sin, whenever we find ourselves caught up in bondage. That is the name that we cry out to.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Yahweh Mekadishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Yahweh Mekadishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you.
Good morning, people of God. We are continuing our series dealing with the names of God. On our journey today, we come to the name Yahweh Makadosh. Now, that's a mouthful to say. So it's acceptable to say Yahweh Makadosh. So I'll be bouncing back between those two words as we share the message today. As we begin, I heard the story of a man who saw this old race car. It was rusted, the engine was shot, the tires were all worn out. And so the man bought this race car for a nominal fee. He spent months fixing it up, restoring the body, rehabbing the engine, putting new tires on it. And when he got done, the race car was in tip-top shape. And he put the race car in a race, and wouldn't you know it, his car won. When you think about the restoration that took place from this old beat-up race car to it being a first-class racing vehicle, that's the same thing that God does when we look at Yahweh Makadosh, that he is the God who sanctifies. He's able to take an old, broken down, rusty, sinful life and restore it and make it new. He's the God who sanctifies. Now, as we look at this term, or this phrase, Yahweh Makadosh, we see it used twice in the Old Testament. One time is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 31 and verse 13. The Lord was letting the children of Israel know that the Sabbath was actually a sign of the covenant with Israel. And he told them that as long as they obeyed, and as long as they kept the Sabbath throughout the generations, and as long as they obeyed his law, that God would reveal himself to them. And the way that God revealed himself to them was by the name of Yahweh Makadosh, the Lord who sanctifies. And we read that in Exodus 31. Verse 13. Now, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, the scripture says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. But I love what he says here. I am Yahweh Makadosh, the Lord sanctifies. We're talking about the God who sanctifies us, the God who cleanses us, the God who purifies us. As a matter of fact, that word, Mekadesh, it comes from the Hebrew term. Some people say Kadesh, some people say Kodesh, but it's a term that's used for holiness, and it meant to purify, it meant to cleanse, it meant to consecrate, it meant to set apart. And so when we look at this idea of God being Yahweh Mekadesh, it lets us know that he is the God who sanctifies, that there is a God who sits in the heavens, and yet still, he sanctifies people on this earth. He is the one that we look to for this sanctification, this setting apart. And God is able to keep us clean. He's able to sanctify us in a dirty world. If you look around us, there's all kind of filth. And I'm not just talking about dirt and soot. I'm just talking about moral filth. I'm talking about illegal filth. There's just filth all around us. And yet still, we serve a God who's able to keep us clean in the midst of this dirty world. I told you about the flower that was at the entrance of a cave. It was a white flower, and it was pristine. It was pure, and it was unusual because this cave had a bunch of soot that would fall from the top. And so there was soot all over the cave. Yet and still, there was this white flower. And it was untainted by soot. And somebody said, how in the world can that flower remain so pure in the midst of all the soot that's falling down in this cave? And the guy pointed out that the petals of the flower resisted the soot, so that when the soot hit the petals of the flower, it just rolled off and kept its pristine look. And then we serve a God, a God in the midst of filth and falling, and he keeps us clean. And he keeps us pure. Why is that? He's the God who sanctifies. He's Yahweh. This God that sanctifies. And so when we find ourselves in bondage, we don't necessarily need the God who provides. We don't necessarily need Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. We don't necessarily need Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. And we don't We need Yahweh Kadesh. We need the God who sanctifies. We need the God who is able to break addiction. We need the God who was able to break lust. We need the God who was able to help us deal with fornication. We need the God who was able to help us deal with bitterness, help us deal with unforgiveness. We need the God who sanctifies. And my friend, if you ever find yourself caught up in some type of sin, if you ever find yourself caught up in some type of addiction, you need to pray. And yeah, we can pray to God, and we can ask God for deliverance, and we can ask God to touch our situation, and we can ask God to break our chains. But let me help you. And we have a more specific way that we can pray. And that more specifically is that, and I like what I hear one of the members here at Bethany say, when I get down on my rusty knees and pray, I can pray to Yahweh the King. And I can ask him, Lord, I'm struggling with some sin right now. I'm struggling with being bound to something that I don't want to be bound to. I find myself addicted. I need you to sanctify me. Lord, I need you to cleanse me. Lord, I need you to purify me. I need you to work in my life, Lord, and set me apart for your service. So Yahweh Makadosh is the name that we call on whenever we find ourselves in sin, whenever we find ourselves caught up in bondage. That is the name that we cry out to. When I think about Yahweh Makadosh, he's able to transform a sinner into a saint. He's able to take the vilest sinner and transform them into the godliest individual. We all have heard of John Newton, the gentleman that wrote the song Amazing Grace. He said, Amazing Grace, a wicked and immoral individual. But yet still, when he was confronted with the sanctifying grace of God, God took him from being a sinner and transformed him into being a saint. I think about this virus situation that we're in right now. And I remember when this thing first broke, how that people, when they went grocery shopping, they would bring their groceries back home, and maybe some people are still doing this. They would bring their groceries back home, and they would sit it in a designated area, and they wouldn't use those groceries until they had taken the sterile wipes or they had taken some type of cleansing agent and wiped their groceries down, and then they moved them to a place where they could say, okay, now we can use these groceries. And you know what? You think about that. That is the process of sanctification. That when you brought them home, that they were unusable. That you had to cleanse them. You had to purify them. And then you put them in another place where you say, okay, now I can use this. When we think about our God, when we think about Yahweh Makadosh, and realize that many of us were in a place in our life where we couldn't be used. We had the quote-unquote corona germs. Now, I know corona wasn't back then. I'm saying that figuratively now. But we had the germs on us. We had the filth on us. And we weren't in a position to be used by God. But God took us, God sanctified us, and God put us in a place where we can now be used by him. When I think of the church at Corinth, these were a godless group of individuals in the flesh. They were divisive, they tolerated sin, they took each other to court. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. So these people in this church, they were some rascals, right? But notice when Paul writes to them and how he addresses them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Hear that? Called to be saints. Called to be saints. He said that, you know, you used to be a certain way. That in the flesh You had all these issues going on. He said, but now you are called to be saints. Not only are they called to be saints, but he says that they are sanctified in Christ Jesus. God can take the vile sinner, clean them up, put them in a place where he can use them. Just think. And I know some of you grew up in a righteous environment. You grew up in a godly family. You grew up in the house of the Lord. But then there is another group that they didn't have the same fortune to be able to do that. And you ought to thank God that you were able to grow up in an environment where you were protected and sheltered from the sinful lifestyle. But there's a group that they grew up enjoying the sins of the world. There's a group, as I say, you drank more liquor than there is water in the Allegheny River. Right? You were out there, and God transformed your life. And the reason that he transformed, because he has the power to be able to do it. He is Yahweh Makadosh, the God who sanctifies us. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 again. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He sanctified us. He's called us to be saints. And I want to tell you this, that God is in the business of sanctification. And God loves sanctifying things. He sanctified the seasons. He sanctified places. He sanctified vessels. He sanctified people. He sanctified the priests. He even sanctified cities. God loves sanctifying things. So when we say sanctify, what do we mean? We mean that he loves to cleanse them, purify, then put them in his service, activate them in his service. I think about my life, how that God took me and he purified me, he cleansed me, and then he put me in his service to teach and preach the word of God. What has God cleansed you from? What has God purified you from? But perhaps the more significant question that we could ask now is not only what he cleansed you from, and not only what he purified you from, but now, what has he set you apart to do? What has he set you apart to do? God didn't cleanse you just when you go on about your business, living your life to yourself. God didn't purify you just so that you could go and make a bunch of money and live a good life. God cleansed you. God purified you so that he could set you apart in service for him. I thank God. I love teaching and preaching the word of God. And I know that is what God has set me apart for. And I know in order to get me to this place where he set me apart to do what he's called me to do, that first he had to purify me, and first he had to cleanse me. So I'm asking you, my friend, are you cleansed? Are you sanctified? Has God worked in your life? Has he set you apart for a specific task? Has he set you apart for service in his kingdom? I'm talking today about Yahweh Makadosh, the God who sanctifies. What is sanctification? Sanctification is God making me holy in my conscience, that's my mind, my conduct, and my conversation. Now, does that mean that I'm always holy in those areas? I wish I could say that every time I hit the mark, I know I come up short. I know sometimes that I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. I know sometimes I act in ways that I shouldn't act. And I know that sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say. But I praise God that in this process of sanctification, that He's doing His job. And He's working in me to keep me clean and to keep me pure. This chart that I'm putting up on the screen, it talks about three phases of salvation. Three phases of salvation. You were saved, that's justification. You are being saved, that's sanctification. And you will be saved, that's glorification. And when we think about justification, that's a past act. That when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were justified. You were declared right with God. One day in the future, you'll be glorified. And that means that you'll be free from the very presence of sin. But through this process of sanctification, this is where we are working this thing out now with God. Now, so God does His job. You know, God sanctifies us. God sets us apart for His service. And as we look at this being set apart for His service, that means that sanctification is an ongoing process. Again, I'm going to show you something here in a second to say that God has already done His part. And now there's a part that we play in sanctification. But before I get to that, let me just share with you this. And that is, God's standard has always been holiness. God's standard has always been holiness. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God says that you shall be holy because I am holy. And then we move into the New Testament. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or that word conversation there actually means lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the standard. That's the standard. I like Coach Tomlin. I like what he says. Coach of Pittsburgh Steelers. Somebody gets hurt. And, next person behind him, he said that the standard don't drop off. You know, we expect the same from them as we do from the guy that was there before them. You know, the standard, and I love it. The standard is the standard. Right? The standard is the standard. And so even as we look at this idea of holiness, the standard is the standard. In the Old Testament, God called people to be holy. In the New Testament, God calls people to be holy. Now let me tell you something about Yahweh Mercatus.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, from our series, The Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.